just briefly, a few comments, and then I will kind of go into what I think Tom's, or actually the organizer, has asked me to address. I will say that I view my role primarily as trying to respond to some of the morning speakers, and then to dwell a little bit about how I view the importance of feed efficiency to the company that I represent. I'm going to apologize beforehand because I'm going to be flipping through some of these notebooks. I grew up with, under the Gary Smith School of Presentations. These guys with the PowerPoints, that's just a crutch. And I use it too. So this is going to be a little different for me. So bear with me, I guess, is my point. Tom's asked me first to kind of share with you the company that I work for. For those of you who are on the West Coast, you know Harris Ranch. For those of you who perhaps are not from the West Coast, let me explain that we are one of the larger functionally integrated beef companies in the western United States. We operate a feedlot in the Central Valley near the town of Coalinga. That feed yard has a one-time capacity of 120,000 head of cattle. We also operate our own beef packing plant. We're going to harvest roughly 850 head of fed steers and heifers 5 days out of the week. We operate one shift. We're a branded beef company. We pride ourselves in adding value to the products that we market. So we're heavily involved in marketing pre-cooked, fresh marinated items. And now with the economy that we're in, we're very much involved in ground beef production as well. And we're trying to do some unique things there. To address some of the comments first that were made, and then I guess we can go back and forth if you want, Tom. I think one of your first speaker, Dr. Lawrence, had a profound statement. It was pretty simple, again, kind of Tom's charge, but he made the observation, this isn't rocket science, that corn prices have increased, and we all know that in fact has occurred, as has the volatility of those prices. And I think that term, volatility, is a key word, one we need to focus on, because it is very evident in today's market. And it is that volatility that makes it exceedingly difficult to make some decisions in trying to cover your risk exposure. You know, if I knew what my input costs were going to be, I think we could manage this thing a little bit better. So that's just an observation. So consider, you know, why is that important to us as a company? A lot of people know this. Jack Calley, you know this as well. We're pretty tight-fisted with our data. So I got to be careful. It's not that we're fearful that everybody knows who we are and what we're doing, but I'm going to speak in some generalities, okay? During the 2008 calendar year, we saw a 40% shift or swing in our feed cost. 40% shift in feed cost. Let's just throw out some numbers, and I think maybe this is the reason that I was invited to come, because I could put some perspective to these small improvements in feed efficiency. If we assume we're going to turn that yard a little over 2 times per year, let's just make the assumption we're going to market 250,000 head of fed steers and heifers each year. To feed those cattle to their end weights, we are going to produce roughly 350,000 tons of feed in a year to feed those cattle. Now, based off of our some numbers that I asked the guys over at the feedlot to run in the last 5 years, and looking at ration costs, and looking at performance, we work kind of backwards into a number here. If I assume average feed cost at $300 per ton on a dry matter basis, for every 3/10 of 1 point movement I can improve feed efficiency, it has a net result of improving the bottom line on the closeouts at $20 a head. So 0.3%. If I can go from 6.3 to 6.0 pounds of feed on a dry matter basis per pound of gain, I've now just picked up $20 per head. You can do the math. Roll that over 250,000 head of cattle in a year, and that number is really significant. Now, is feed efficiency the entire answer? No, let me use this example. Maybe it's a poor analogy, but let's just say that as an industry, we're now at a feed-to-gain ratio of 6 to 1. To recoup, and this is the reason it's kind of a bad analogy, recoup the $200 to $250 per head losses that we've experienced in the feeding industry, we'd have to make these cattle right now convert like chickens. Because take that 0.3% in feed efficiency at $20 per head improvement to the bottom line, and it means that those cattle have got to convert 3 to 1. if we just solely chase feed efficiency, and I'm not advocating that. You can extrapolate that also to Dr. Carson's talk about REI. Again, walking backwards off that 350,000 tons of feed. It through RFI, if I can reduce total feed intake by 8%, that equates to 28,000 tons less feed that I would have to manufacture and provide to those cattle. What's that mean? If corn represents the bulk of that total, that means that I would reduce the number of shuttle train units that I have to bring out from the Midwest by two. Those are 110 car units of corn that we bring into our facility all the time. Finally, and like I said, I'll kind of quit here. Dave Daly, I agree with him 100%. I mean, I think his take home was right. At the end of the day, if it doesn't make sense from a profit and loss standpoint, that there's no reason for me to either to make management decisions internally, whether it's at the packing plant or at the feedlot. It just makes no sense at all. I applaud the organizers of this conference for identifying feed efficiency and wanting to talk about it. Personally, I think it's a better option if we can improve feed efficiency through genetics than our use, or maybe step back here, our incorrect use of exogenous growth-promoting compounds. So if we can do it with genetics, in my opinion, that's probably the better angle to attack it by. And then finally, I guess I would caution that we don't, and I know Dave Daly made the comment, we have a tendency to chase one trait and become so focused on that trait that we lose sight of where we really want to be. Because at the end of the day, we've got to remember that our ultimate, where we need to focus is with the consumer. I mean, they've got to want to purchase the product that we're manufacturing. So with that, one more comment, and then I'll, like I said, and I apologize, I don't have a real good train of thought here, I'm just looking at notes. Let's use this as an example. Using CattleFax's data, over the last 20 years, we've increased hog carcass weight by 100 pounds. And that trend line just continues to go up. What's that equate to, and how does that impact the end customer? And I'm going to use our food service sales as an example. When I first came to work for the company, the specification on our Lipon ribeye, so that's a boneless ribeye, the full subprimal, the specification on that sheet that we would go out and sell with was a 12 up and a 12 down. In 7 years, we are now, that spec is at 15 up and 15 down. There's just that we're making cattle big, and I'm just, again, talking specifically to food service, from a portion control standpoint, those folks don't like that. So I'm gonna stop with those comments. Chip, turn it over to you. I'm